Chapter 11. I didn't see Ryan until the game against the Cadillacs the next afternoon. Last time we'd met the Cadillacs, Ryan and Dan Keller, their leading scorer, had both been out. The game had ended in a tie, but this was no mere league game. This was for the tournament championship, and there could be no tie this time. The tension was thick in the dressing room. Knowles didn't have to psych us up for this one. Instead, he launched right into his pregame strategy, reminding us that the Cadillacs had the strongest power play in the league. I studied Ryan. He was quiet but focused, and I didn't think we'd have a repeat of last game. At least, I'd hoped not. We needed him tonight. Falcons rule, Cadillacs drool, chanted Justin as we made the final adjustments to our equipment and headed out the door. Especially since we've got the staff, murmured Pete. The guys nodded in agreement, and I tried to push the nagging dilemma from my mind. Tomorrow I would worry about that. Tomorrow was New Year's Day. Tonight I needed to focus on the game. The Cadillacs were already on the ice warming up. We skated out, took a couple of laps, and let a few shots go on Jordy. He looked good, agile, quick, and on top of his game. Dan Keller squared off against Ryan for the game-opening face-off, and Ryan won the draw. My heart soared. Tonight we were going to smoke the Cadillacs, of that I was certain. And it certainly seemed like we would in the first few minutes. Ryan got two shots on goal, and Justin got one on our first shift, but nothing went in. The Cadillacs found their rhythm and got going by the mid-period mark. The play went end-to-end for most of the period until O'Neill turned the speed and got by James. Pete stepped into him as he drove for the shot and both of them went down, Pete's stick waving in the air. Pete got 2 minutes for high-sticking and our line went out to kill the penalty. But not for long. Smithers snagged the puck and let a shot go. It found its mark. 1-0 Cadillacs. Justin and I skated towards the bench, but Ryan circled mid-rink, watching Knowles. Justin and I were already at the gate when Knowles ordered us back out. I glanced at Ryan as he lined up opposite their center and felt a sudden surge of adrenaline. Ryan won the draw and sent it to Justin, who passed it across to me. As soon as it hit my stick, I sent it back to Ryan, who tapped it back to Justin in the slot, and boom, the light went on. We finished the period tied 1-1. Nice goal, guys, congratulated Knowles between periods. Looked like ping pong out there. Keep the puck moving and take advantage of any opportunities they give us. They're likely to come out checking hard. Hit them back, but don't get drawn into taking a penalty. This team is too strong to give them chances on their power plays. Knowles was right. I took a hard hit from Renegade, their big defenseman, who uttered a few ugly threats at the same time. They were out to intimidate us. Knowles sent our big guys out to mix it up with them. Neil dropped Robertson with an open ice check that brought the crowd to its feet. If they wanted to play tough, we would play tough, too. Don't forget about the puck, Knowles urged. Ryan and Keller stared each other down in the face-off circle, each trying to outmaneuver the other. Finally, the linesman threw them both out and waved Smithers and me in. I won the draw and sent it over to Ryan, who wheeled down the rink. Robertson smashed him into the boards, but he managed to freeze the puck. Nice work, I shouted, moving with in ear range. Ryan was still leaning against the boards, clutching his ribs. I caught the look of pain in his eyes. Your ribs? Together we skated to the bench with only 2 minutes left. It was clear that Ryan was hurting and Knowles had noticed. He let the other two lines finish off the period and grabbed Ryan as we filed out. How are you doing there, Davis? I looked back over my shoulder. Ryan tried to straighten up, but even that made him gasp. Knowles studied his face. That doesn't look very good, Ryan. Maybe you should sit out for a while. Ryan snapped his head up, but again the pain overcame him. I'm sure it's just a bruise, he managed, but Knowles wasn't buying it. There's no point playing hurt. You might put yourself out for the rest of the season. I hung back and waited for Ryan and Knowles to catch up. But it's the Cadillacs, and we're tied, Ryan pleaded. For a moment, Knowles wavered. Then his eyes scanned the crowd. I'll tell you what, Dr. Northcott's here, Jared's dad. You let him check you out, and if he gives you the go-ahead, you can play. Ryan and I waited in the corridor while Knowles went to find Jared's dad. I gave him a wistful smile as he joined Dr. Northcott in the first aid room, then pushed my way into the dressing room. Where's Ryan? Asked Dave. He's coming, I murmured, trying not to sound suspicious. The last thing we needed now was to lose our top scorer. I retied my skate and waited for Knowles to come in and give us the news. Good hockey, boys, said Knowles when he joined us. You're doing everything right. Keep checking, shooting, stick handling, and play like all you can. He paused and I braced myself. Remember, hockey is a team sport and we only win if all of you do your jobs. He looked around the room. Now, unfortunately, we're going to have to play this period without Davis. A chorus of questions went up. Dr. Northcott thinks he might have bruised or separated his ribs. The guys groaned. Ryan would like to play this last period, believe me, but I'm not putting him back on. We don't want to lose him or anyone else to an injury. We sat silently. All that means is that you guys are going to have to pick up the slack. We'll be mixing up the forward lines a bit and changing on the fly. Defensemen, you're going to have to cover on those changes. The Cadillacs will play hard right to the end. They always do. And so do we. It was Ryan's voice. He was standing just inside the door, his sweater off, his helmet in his pants. I wished I had Ryan's confidence. Noel sent Justin, Red, and I out against Keller's line. I saw Keller scan the bench. Lost Davis, have you? Keller taunted Red across the face-off circle. What do you do, break a nail? I pounded my stick on the ice. Red's pass hit Justin at the blue line, and he sailed to the Cadillac zone, sending a rink-wide pass across to me. I took the slap shot. The defenseman got a piece of it, and Horvath made a lucky save. But luck was not with us. Pete took 2 minutes for roughing on a retaliation, and the Cadillacs didn't waste any time. They applied the pressure, and 15 seconds into the penalty, Smithers slipped one through Jordy's legs. 2-1, Cadillacs. Knowles called the timeout and tried to rally the troops, but the guy's confidence was waning. We were down a goal without Ryan, with 12 minutes left to play against a team who had the momentum. I tried to force those thoughts from my head and concentrate on my stick handling, but I lost the puck in the neutral zone, and the Cadillacs stormed down on Jordy again. Theo poke-checked Keller, and they didn't get a shot on goal, but the play was mostly in our end, and it stayed there. We were having trouble clearing the puck, and Jordy was feeling the pressure. There was a lot of jostling in front of the net, and finally a whistle. This time luck was on our side. Renegade was going off for cross-checking. I glanced at the clock as Alex, James, Dave, Justin, and I went out on the power play. We carried the puck in 3 times, but couldn't push past the defense. Red's line managed on one decent shot, but Horvath made a glove save. The Cadillacs iced the puck every chance they got, and by the time Dave's line went out, the penalty had expired. The crowd roared, and a deflated Falcons line returned to the bench. We tried after that, we really did, but it was like the air had just gone out of us. The Cadillacs just sat back and protected their one goal lead until the buzzer sounded. We shook hands with a jubilant Cadillac team and made our way to the dressing room. Nobody said much. There wasn't much to say. Even Angie didn't say anything when I joined them in the lobby. I looked around for Ryan. John took Ryan up to emergency to get checked out, explained Dad, reading my thoughts. You can give him a call when you get home. And tell him we lost, I thought as I climbed the stairs up to my room. Our second loss of the season. Nobody answered the phone at Ryan's house, so I hung up and headed to the kitchen for a snack. Lise was stirring some khaki brown mixture into a bowl. I grabbed a banana and reached for the milk. I'm sorry you lost today, Lise began, but it might not be all bad. What's good about it? Well, the guys took their sinus minus last night, right? She whispered. I nodded. And you lost, so maybe they won't be so sold on the stuff now. Lise did have a point. Maybe now is a good time to wean the guys off the stuff. Tomorrow's New Year's. It's a good time for resolutions. Are you making any? I asked cheekily, eyeing her multimedia shirt with its bits of clay, paper, and plastic. Actually, I'm making two. She scraped the mixture into a pan. I'm going to give up home marketing. I gagged on my milk. But I thought you lived for retail therapy. She opened the oven door and ignored my remark. It's just like you said, Joel. They're all crazes and fads anyway, and I never make any money off them. I felt a tinge of guilt. Well, at least they give you something to do. Lise set the timer on the oven. I'll just have to find something else to do, something useful. What's your second resolution? I asked. To be a better mother. I must have looked shocked, because she immediately turned bright red. Maybe mother's the wrong word, she backtracked. I just mean a better role model, you know. I said nothing. Mother was definitely the wrong word. I was still reeling when I got to my room. Dad poked his head in a few minutes later. Lise told me about your conversation, he began. I looked away. Her intentions are good, Joel. She just wants you to respect her. Dad waved his hands awkwardly. Try and be patient. Those are difficult resolutions for Lise, and I admire her for making them. He closed my door behind him. Maybe Dad was right. Those were tough resolutions for Lise. If she could make those kinds of resolutions, then I could too. I had some heavy thinking to do, and I'd start as soon as I gave Ryan the bad news. That's too bad, groaned Ryan when I told him. I wish I could have been there. Yeah, what did they say at the hospital anyway? Separated ribs. The doctor says I'll need at least a month. A month? Just our luck. Your luck? What about mine? Asked Ryan. First we lose a tournament, and then I get sidelined for a month. I know, Rye. It's just that it's going to be hard slugging without you. The guy at the hospital said I'll probably be able to skate in a couple of weeks, but I can't take any physical contact for a month. At least you'll be able to practice for before Denver. Yeah. I could hear Mr. Davis hollering at Ryan. I've got to go, Joel. We're going up to the hospital to see Mom. How's she doing anyway? I asked. About the same. We're moving her into the home next week. I didn't say anything. What was there to say?